This led to huge delays in rolling out programs for 2011-2012, which would inevitably have a knock-on effect on the rollout of 2012-2013 programs. CETA's administration was extended in January 2012 for another 6 months. It now ends on 7 July 2012. CETA is also undergoing fundamental changes at governance and administrative level. This background and context is critical for members to understand the implementation environment of the strategic plan, the annual performance plan, and budget for 2012-2013 financial year. It is worth mentioning that the strategic plan, the annual performance plan, and the budget for this financial year has yet to be approved by DHET 2 months into the new financial year, so it has not as yet been approved. Now, I want to run very quickly into the key moments of the skills sector skills plan, and say that what we've done with the SSP is to start right at the beginning. We've decided that we wanted to start by defining and redefining the services sector. Because colleagues, we know that there are international definitions of the services sector, World Trade Organization and GATS. And in terms of the services sector is not defined in the same way. The services sector operates only in a portion of the services sector as understood by World Trade Organization and internationally. Colleagues will know that ordinarily in terms of World Trade Organization definition, the services sector would include energy, it would include transport, it would include at least the work of four or five other sectors. So we had to factor that redefinition into the SSP. And we also decided to divide the sector into 16 subsectors, which include business services, estate agents, property, household and personal services. We also spent time in analyzing the environment that we're operating in. We also explore the growth areas in the services sector of our economy, services sector broadly, but specifically in the, where the services CETA operates. CETA's role in developing the sector was also redefined. Now, the SSP attached to the third plan is essentially work in progress, because vulnerable members will understand that what we want to do is to, in the final analysis, produce a status document that defines the services sector in the broadest terms, a document that will be of use not only to us as a CETA, but also to business operating in the services sector of the economy. In other words, want a thoroughly and rigorous document that sets out the dynamics in the sector, including the labor market situation and so on. In a national roadshow that we did in 2011, we discussed the needs of the sector and sought the inputs of all our stakeholders across the country. And there was general buy-in for the new and more open approach that we are adopting. 16 sub-sector workshops produced sub-sector development plans. We are in the process of consolidating those the feedback we are receiving from our various sub-sectors to inform the needs and challenges confronting the sector. We're conducting a survey with 7,500 member companies to get better insight and understanding of the sector and the needs. We're interviewing 150 key informants. There's also desk research and data analysis. Our five-year outcome, we're looking at a comprehensive labor market information system that you want to develop, that will provide us up-to-date, reliable information on supply and demand for skills in the sector and the sub-sectors. Sector and sub-sector development plans agreed annually, setting out where opportunities for expansion exist and the interventions required by the sector and stakeholders, including the services sector, to achieve growth and increasing levels of employment in the sector. Identifying scarce skills, documented and explained, and appropriate interventions are put in place to address these challenges. A clear set of priority critical skills needs are developed and agreed for each subsector, and skills programs agreed to address them. Small and micro enterprises, including cooperatives, NGOs, and CBOs, and civil society employment initiatives identified in each subsector and supported to expand income generating and employment. Education and training supply challenges identified and addressed to ensure quality, cost-effective, and accessible provision across subsectors and regions. Now, for the first time, the service sector has a monitoring and evaluation framework to monitor progress and to measure impact. Now, much of what we've done and inherited has a problem that we were unable to measure the impact and so follow the money, so to speak. Now, we're investing a lot of resources and time in finding an instrument to measure the impact we make, to follow every cent that we invest in the sector. Examples of indicators include an increase in WSPs from 2,000 to 10,000, career guidance for each subsector, supply and demand projections and models appropriate to each of our subsectors, agreement and priority skills areas, scarce skills areas. In each subsector, small enterprises described, including in the informal sector, skills needs profile for different types of small and micro enterprises, mentors and coaches supporting emerging and smaller companies. We're doing partnerships with CEDA, co-op support organizations, the DTI, economic development and financial institutions. Procurement and grant making processes are reviewed. We'll have more to say on this during the green paper processes. Pivotal and other grants made available. Service CETA ETQA program informed by subsector developments and needs. For each indicator, there are quantitative and qualitative measures. Very quickly, Honorable Chair, on the STAT plan, the key highlights really. The strategic plan sets out how the service CETA in the particular context of the CETA plans to approach the implementation of the SSP, realigning the services CETA to serve the needs of the sector and its subsectors requires a complete review of our structures, our systems, our procedures, and staff capacity. It is hoped that the strategic plan and the accompanying APP shows how the services CETA intends to move from its previous to its intended state. The intention is transparency, though it is easy to lose the strategy in a dense document. The key strategic themes, restructuring the CETA into six chambers. We inherited 10. We've restructured it into six chambers, serving the needs of 16 subsectors or industries, clustering the 76 code industries allocated to the services CETA. In each subsector, we examine the needs of large, medium, and small enterprises and develop agreement interventions to enable growth and job creation in each of them. We prioritize scarce skills, occupations where posts cannot be filled by qualified and competent people, and critical skills, gaps in capacity of employed staff. Now, the key levers to achieve this impact: increasing sector and subsector knowledge, increasing quantity and quality of WSPs and ATR, better quality research through recruiting skilled people, contracting specialist researchers, and partnerships. Structuring subsector consultation into an annual program for chamber work, reviewing policies, processes, and systems to ensure greater openness, transparency, more consistency in targeting resources to sector needs, including scarce and critical skills. Projectizing work to enable greater efficiency, effectiveness, and accountability. The levers to achieve impact: focusing on the services CETA sector, while at the same time acknowledging the championing of the need of a wider services sector of our economy. Reviewing past interventions and subjecting them to thorough scrutiny to learn lessons from that. Making greater use of data, though improved through improved capturing management and analysis of reporting of data. Reduced focus on numbers and a greater focus on throughput, completion, quality, impact, and future employment. Strategic goals, effective governance, management, and financial management, sound sector knowledge, informing strategy and plans, effective strategies to support sector and sub-sector development, including small businesses, raising skills levels to support growth and employment, working with government and other sectors to build a services sector that supports inclusive growth, including in rural areas, quality provision of education and training that meets sector needs, outcomes and impact of sector strategy measured at all times. Governance, establishing the board and its committees. We plan to do that by June. Administration, aligning the 10% admin budget to our strategy. Mandatory grants, we reposition to focus on obtaining sound data from employers through quality WSPs and ATRs. CETA-funded skills development, the bulk of discretionary funds located here. Sector skills planning and research, sector development intervention, program monitoring, and evaluation. The next bit of the presentation, Honorable Chair, will focus on the actual numbers. And my colleague, Mr. Wasa, will run through that.
Honorable members and colleagues. The budget that we're looking at is called 2012-13 and two outer years of the MTS. However, we'll, I don't know if members will see that, but I'll attempt to run through that. I want to start by talking to actual numbers for 2011-2012 to set the context for the years of the budget. You'd note that we have been very conservative in the way that we have been budgeting. 2011-2012 budget compared to actual numbers. I must point out that these are unaudited numbers at this point, because the financial year just ended. The Auditor General will only be starting with the audit from the 1st of June. But you'd note that the revenue for and particularly levies for 2011-2012 increased by 19%. We're generally very conservative in the way that we budget because of the problems that we're experiencing with regard to data that informs us in terms of how we project. But also we have a lack of capacity with regard to economic analysis or economic information about our subsectors, and it makes it therefore difficult for us to really know how our sectors are growing and how would that have an impact on the numbers that we have. So levies have increased by 19%, but the total income for the CETA for 2011-2012 increased by 21%. Now, if you look at the monetary grants or employer grants, we have increased this by 23% from what we budgeted for. This is as a result of the increase in levies, and that has increased the 50% grant that we pay to our employers. Now, as Dr. Moon had mentioned earlier on in the presentation, that the challenge that we have as a CETA is that the amount of WSPs and ATRs that we receive limit the amount that we pay in monetary grants, and that we are intending to increase by a substantial number during this term of the NSDS 3. But specifically, we are targeting to increase this by 30%, the monetary having a program now to really capacitate these SMEs to be able to submit the WSPs and ATRs that will make us to disperse more monetary grants to them. Now, this has created another challenge for us, the amount that we are paying for monetary grants, in that the regulations require us to sweep whatever that would not have been paid on monetary grants under discretionary grant, and which then swells the discretionary grant spend by a substantial amount, which will have to therefore disperse in the following year. And as a result of this, the services state has been building reserves over a couple of years that we now have to disperse, because this is not allowed by Treasury regulations that we keep the reserve as a public entity. However, we are working on these issues, but of course, these issues will not take 1 or 2 years or 2 financial years to really resolve in totality. But we are adopting a progressive approach in dealing with these matters. For the period 2012-13, we are estimating that our revenue will increase by 3%. Again, we are very conservative given the reasons that we have given just now. The period 2014 and 2015 budget is there, and members of SHO can look at the numbers and maybe ask questions if there are any questions that you might have on that. Just to point out that members have noticed that we have increased our staff cost. If you look at our administrative expenditure, I want to just explain this because it does not perhaps make sense to other people. If you, as Dr. Moon just said now, we have lost all the executive team during 2011-2012, but on the other hand, we have increased our staff cost by 37%. There might be a disjunction there, unless that disjunction is explained. The reason for this is that in the past couple of years, the services sector had been using part of the discretionary grant to pay for regional offices expenditure. And this technically was not correct, and we had to correct it. In that you can't pay administration costs from discretionary grant unless those administration costs are directly linked to the project that you are running on a particular discretionary grant project. And as a result of that, we had to then include all the costs, including personnel costs from the region, in the payroll as it is supposed to be. And that has had an impact on our staff costs. But also, members would note that in the annual report of 2010-11, CIDA has reported severance packages that were paid to some of the executive and some of the senior managers that left. And a portion of those severance packages were actually paid in 2011-2012. And as a result of that, they still have an impact on our staff costs. And also there were things like leave pay, leave encashments that were made by those executives that had since exited. So that has increased the staff cost. So that I should explain that. But if you look at other operational costs for the services sector, we actually sort of saved about 8% on those. But generally, we have increased the expenditure, admin expenditure, by 12%. But if you look at the increase of admin expenditure as a result of
still going to give another presentation,
yes.
A different presentation, or are we done with this one? We plan to continue with this one.
Why am I saying that? It's because the committee needs to hear the following. Chair, last year, our last companies have placed this number of lenders in these areas. The small companies, because they are of insufficient capacity, they did this in terms of lenders. We have given this number of students in our sector, but that is in the following FETs. If you need their names and ID numbers, we can give you copies. We have given this number of universities, but that is students in our sector and onward. We don't have capacity in terms of an exact number of critical and skill schemes, but from our own thumbsack, we've been able to fund these areas that we just assume are skill schemes. They are studying in these places, in these programs. We don't hear anything of that. That's what we want to hear in an annual performance plan. For instance, in a document you're saying, in the first quarter, we'll produce 25% of policies. We do not hear that. We don't have policies that are computed in percentages. You will say we want to have a leave policy. It is not there in this institution. We would like this and that policy. We have produced this. The minister must, or the board must approve this and that. That's what we want to hear. When you talk to us, you must speak to a man in the street who's passing, who's wearing no shoes, who doesn't understand complex stuff. You see, if sitters are there to dispatch money to companies, they must close shop. We can just ask a SASA to assist granting also money to companies. Because what we mean by a workplace skills plan is that the company would say, here is the number of our employees, here are their skills, they would like to improve in these areas, we would like to train them, this is our plan, these are the amounts, then you see, yeah, this is credible. We can give you, no, this is, so that these monies are not used to just pay existing staff members. Companies. Well, that's what is happening now. It's a ritual. On the 17th, we are closing. You must submit your SSP. If you don't, workplace skills plan. If you don't, you can't get your money. And they just write the same thing, the same numbers, and then you give them the money, and that's enough of distributed. It's fine. Then the minister speaks. The portfolio committee speaks, but nobody seems to do what we're saying. Let me allow members to ask questions, if they have good questions. I did not really hear you very well. I want you to give me a presentation that says, last year, as services center, we have placed this number of students in this companies. We have funded this number of FETs for this amount, this budget. We have given this investment, this amount. In our sector, we suspect, because we don't know, we suspect there are scarce skills in these areas. But if you don't know, tell us. We have given a tender worth 50 million to one special expert who will tell us what is happening in this complex field. Then we'll say, where is that specialist? He will sit there behind you and say, Chief, tell us, what is happening in this very complex sector? You go there and tell us. But we can't continue this way. This committee will not proceed without us hearing that. I can tell you, I did not hear you speaking. I sympathize with Dr. Moon because he's our administrator. And he says my team has dispersed and so on at the apex, and I'm left with the foot soldiers. Maybe the foot soldiers will tell better because they know what is happening on the ground, because they're supposed to know what is happening on the ground. If there's no team, tell us the consultants or the companies that you would expect to do the actual work on the ground, to place people, placement companies that will place people in various places, go to the companies and check how many people have been placed, have got contracts, have been paid and so on, what sort of programs these people have been trained on, which is the base for which to make payments to these companies. But that's what we will clearly want to hear. Let me allow members before you respond, and then we'll take from there.
Chair, you've actually taken the words from my mouth because, sitting here, we want to, as you said, we want to see what has been done with the money that companies and people pay into it, and also what the government spends on education. The goal of our whole system is to improve the levels of education, to get more artisans qualified to work on the ground with the companies that you need to support as far as your center is concerned. And I think we haven't even been given any figures of how many people learners have been put through, how many certificates or people have qualified, how many service providers you have at the moment. It is an amazing lot of money. You know, it's nearly R1 billion that is reflected in the budget. And I think, surely, if one pays so much money, we need to see results coming from it. So my whole argument around it, I understand the difficulties experienced in the running of the CETA, but surely it did not take away that the process of training went on. It was executed. So I agree with you, Chair, that I think as far as this report is concerned, it is a background to the report that gives us the history, tell us where we are at the moment as far as management and administration is concerned, but it does not really give us insight into what is really the result, and we want to see the result on the table at the end of the day. Thank you, Chair.
I think I share the same sentiment expressed already. But still, I would want to pose other questions which as well still point towards that same direction. I'll be interested, for instance, and I know very well why I'm asking this. I won't be referred to the minister. I'm posing the question to the CETA concerned. In their view, why has the minister not yet signed off the performance plan? The second, on page 5, there's talk of the research that was of poor quality, and time was requested to produce a decent research. And I was interested in that capacity. Where was it from? Whether the CETA by now has the capacity to engage in a thorough research, particularly within that same period. On page 16,
club will that also prioritize care schemes which could not be filled by those qualified and competent people, and critical skills which will refer to gaps in capacity of employed staff. But our interest will be on qualifications or any training that will lead to particular qualifications. As your own document does refer to the NSD S3 fundamentals, which talks to that. Even if there's time lost in the process of the administrator being put in place, things having to be redesigned and all of that, our understanding is that there were people who were in training already. So it can't be that you came in and you have to start with your first batch of people who needed to be trained and so on. They're supposed to have been working in that now. And the other will be an engagement with the FAQ. Nothing has been said in that regard. Not just training people in FAQ, but whether you have some formal relations with FAQ to say, this is what we are doing with the following FAQ, and so on in this particular kind of On page 9 of the annual performance plan, the last but one paragraph, another fundamental issue there in terms of the imperatives of NSD 3, it relates to the rural focus, issues of class, women, youth, and people with disabilities. And that there's need to focus on FET colleges, especially on rural areas, and that things can continue to be done, but it can't be less as usual. What is being done for now? Are you able to tell us anything in that regard to say, this is the new focus, this is what we're putting in place, and so on, just for us to understand that, yes, they've started taking into consideration what NSD S3 dictates should happen. So I'll quote the chair.
Magina?
I don't think we'll be doing justice here, of which I will even further propose
if we don't get that now, can you agree that we even shelve this presentation and say, let the service teacher go back and prepare and come to us with a convincing report, a report that we can all agree on and to say, this is what they have done. Maybe the expectations that we have were not clear to them. If ever we have set our expectations the way we have done, I think I can even propose that chair. We can even shelve the meeting that you are having today for them to go and prepare and come up with a report that can be satisfying, that you can know that it does have an impact. Thank you very much.
No, I think Honorable Kine just said it, open and loud. If we can't get this report now, there's no need for us to discuss anything. Let's allow a service sector to go and retrofit and come back to the personal committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to ask three questions, but in view of my colleague's proposal, perhaps I must just hang on there and see whether or not the committee does carry my colleague's proposal that the meeting be postponed.
Let me just advise the sitter. The sitters in general, I'm sure I'm direct this department. You have got a very, very kind committee. Of all committees of parliament. Because mostly we're dealing with professors from universities, and we are very nuanced in our engagement. We're very intellectual, all the time. And we don't want to have our meetings where there are cameras. Other committees demand even media to come and see Dr. Moon being embarrassed by us. And they come, and when they're here, I'm certain that I can even up my artistry of performance. And we are very calm. But maybe that is causing us to be taken as seriously by our sitters. When you want students that much place, you don't have to go in the street. They're there. You just go to there are only 50 FETs, and there are only 6 universities of technology. Are there any students that want to be placed for purposes of acquisition of their diplomas, certificates, and all that? They do. And then you phone your 750 companies, small and big. You say, guys, we've got money to pay for learnerships. How many are you prepared to take and some contract with and assess during the period? Give us portfolios of evidence and all that. Don't do that. If you are unable to do so, tell us. We'll give you free consultants. Ourselves. Members of Parliament, we can call our researcher there to give us a list of all people who need placement in South Africa today. It takes just 10 minutes for us to phone these 50 FETs and 23 universities and say, tell us, any people that need placement, you'll get their names, their proper IDs, not false IDs like it was happening with the public service sector. In respect, then you say, from the baseline of all the FETs and universities, this is what we have. And we'll confirm that with the colleagues ourselves, and we're happy. Then you tell us, from the these big companies, we have not made a lot of money as mandatory grants. We are sent to them, place these following people, have their contracts, then you'll get your grant. That's the role of a sitter. But don't hear that. The role of a sitter is not to give out mandatory grants to companies without a program the growth imperatives of the country. Let me leave that part. I'm sure you're going to be able to deal with that as you're answering. Want you to answer the question?
Yes. Summarize, then we close.
Oh, okay, because my concern was on the fact that there's now 6 months the extension of the administrator stay, because I guess that the administrator is brought in to put right any systems that were not working. Now, otherwise that administration becomes invalid if it stays there forever. Now, one would want to know what is it that has not been set right that warrants this 6 months extension. Yes, and also saying that they are undergoing fundamental changes in governance. One would also like to know what those fundamental changes are and what has necessitated those fundamental changes. Thank you.
The department will answer where it must answer. Then Dr. Moon and his administration will do the same. I don't know where to start. We start with the department?
Let's start with me. Honorable Chair, thank you very much to the members for their input. The nature of the forum, Chair, is that unfortunately we cannot call for a point of exigency. We have to listen and, you know, take it in. Honorable members will see that what we have done is to bring to you our 2012-2013 SST strat plan. All the issues being raised live ordinarily in an annual report. We have submitted our first annual report. We're in the process of compiling the next annual report. In fact, all the matters being raised, we can respond to competently, and I think to the satisfaction of members here. We are confident that we have and continue to respond to the demands and imperatives of NSDS 3. In terms of disability, rural intervention, FET colleges, there's intensive work happening in all of those areas. But it is not that information that we brought here. We were advised to come and talk to you about our plans for 2012-2013, which is what all our documents are doing. Really, the financials speak to that, the SST speak to that, the highlights of the strat plan speak to 2012-2013, and not the information honorable members are asking for. We could hazard rough responses, but I think the honorable member who was suggesting that we be given time to put together a response to these specific questions is probably right. We can do that, honorable chair, in a matter of a day. That information is readily available. But as I say, we did not prepare to give you that information.
Now, you see, almost the same question can still be posed. My understanding as well, within the same draft of the 2012-2013 plan that we've got, we don't get that sense. That in terms of placing learners or students or training for these particular skills, this is what we're going to be doing. If that was to becoming clear even then, it will tell us that the particular benchmark from which you're moving, you just did not talk to the statistics of 2011, 2012, or the current academic year that we're in, but there's projection if we were to talk of the next academic year, and this is what we are talking about concretely. We could be getting out of here knowing what is in place and so on. But now, it's likely theoretical issues being talked about. So it's not clear to say
students, if we were to get out of here, going to be in the next, even if it's estimates or projections that we needed to be armed with, I did not get that sense. Thanks.
Thank you very much to all the honorable members. Good day. I can give you a snapshot of what has happened in the past financial year, as well as what we plan to do, what's in the actual SSP for the forthcoming, or actually the current financial year. During the 2011-12,
you know what you must do? As you do so, you must refer us to the document before us, because we are dealing with the document before us.
Okay. I'll deal, okay, the 2011-12, obviously there is no document.
I wanted to endorse the proposal. That we don't have in front of us, we don't discuss us to have. Or rather, we don't pretend that this is how we can do it now. Let us postpone so that we can have the real figure.
Just to help Dr. Moon. Dr. Moon, our committee is very competent. We are clear that in terms of the two documents in front of us, nobody sees how many students from which institution are going to be placed where. You could be having some figures somewhere else. We are going to allow the department to respond and then postpone this meeting. And you're going to have what we refer to as an annual performance plan. In the annual performance plan, you're going to tell us figure and program. This is the amount, this is what we're going to do. In this quarter, if you divide your things by quarters, you don't really mind. As long as we'll be following what the national treasury has given us as the framework, to say this is how we report and so on and so on, then we'll take from there. Did it?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think coming to this committee, we have learned that we need at all times when we do presentation to also speak to numbers and the impact that they have. And I think we learned the hard way as a department. So that's the experience we have now. We note the comments made by the committee, and we will work in collaboration with the CETA to see to it that then in the next meeting, at least we're able to speak to that request as made by the committee. I think the request is very clear. And as the administrator indicated, correctly so, they have that information. All I need to have is just to package it in a manner in which it will meet the expectation of the committee. So in that regard, we will do as requested, Chair. But the second part, the administrator has done lot of tremendous work within the CETA, and I'm sure if we're to be given an opportunity to see the whole day with the committee to begin to show the impact that he has had. Linked to the extension, there has been, in collaboration between the department and the administrator and the service CETA, the need to effect the extension, largely because of the scope of work that the administrator had to contend with. But secondly, within that, the administrator had to then have some more time to deal with the actual process of setting up the governance structures, but the determination of members of the board, but also approval of the constitution and relating to the powers and the duties of the CETA. So that work is what is currently on as well, over and above everything that he has reported on, keeping the administrator busy and hence the need for the extension. But we have taken note of the comments, and we thank you, Chair.
Okay, there is only one thing that I feel we need to make clear before we even have a subject. That's to say, yes, let us not go out here as if we don't have an understanding of what the SSP and the SP is and what is that you need on performance and plan or on annual performance. have another, you know, because now as I'm coming as if we don't understand exactly what is it that you are looking for as the committee. I think we must set that one very clearly as you say. Whatever you hear, it must be reflecting in that one. So you cannot come up with that plan, not taking it from what you are getting here. So if this one is quiet, we are not expecting to see wonders when it comes to the next plan. So I think our questions are coming directly from that one, and to say we need to see these documents talking to each other so that we know we are starting from the game, that is where we want to end up. Thank you.
I think that is clear. Let's go back and look at our strike plan. Look at our annual business plan. Check whether, do they really talk to South Africa in terms of what the minister is saying, in terms of what the committee is saying, in terms of what the MSC3 says, in terms of what IPAP2 says, in terms of what the human resource strategy says in this country. Just on our road, before you even go to that meeting, just sit down and say, what are the skills that we need to fund in South Africa as the services sector in our 23 universities and 50 FCT colleges? Before you come to the service providers and consultants, and we're not saying don't have consultants, we're going to also interrogate, because these consultants, we know that CETAM have what you call a list of accredited service providers. But that's where they want us to go to now. If we have such short courses, tell us which courses are those, are they accredited and all that, by whom? Placement. Tell us about placement. And that placement, it must not be because some suck. We want to ask our researcher here and now, all to our 50 FET, ask them to tell us, to give us a list of people who need placement in all areas. They'll do so. The 6 universities of technology, they'll do so. Then they'll make a comparison whether indeed this CETA engage those people or not. And even for service level agreements with FET colleges, bring copies thereof. You have got a list of students that have passed some of your programs and we are really excited about them. Bring copies of them so that then we can talk good stories about you. I had the story, Dr. Moon, of the projects we're having in the villages in KwaZulu-Natal. I was listening to those. Those are good stories. Now, that articulation, let it come out from the achievements you have had, from what you're going to do this year, so that the committee, when we approve, we're going to approve projects. We're not going to approve the theory. We're going to approve, they are going to place 700 learners from FETX. There are 12 students. If we can ask for names, surely they have the names. Then from this college, so that then when the portfolio committee goes to a college, we even say, in your college, by the way, we have placed 5 students. Are they really learning well in the campus? But that's what we're going. We're not theorizing at our level. There's no theory here. We only deal with practical things, you know, in parliament, because we're practical people. The experts are in the administration, in government, in departments and agencies. That's where they'll theorize and tell us all the things. But here, we are practical. We are like village people. How many people are there being trained? Then we go about that. That's how South Africa wants to engage with you now. Or not. Can we then?
Just to highlight the epic six comments, I think we witnessed to me is a red light. In basic sense, it is worth mentioning that the structured plan, annual performance plan, and the budget for 2012 taken discussed here and has yet to be approved by the. I'm not saying they must comment on that. I'm just raising that as a red flag so that between them and the department, when they come back, there should be some clarity on that.
You must remember, I think the prof raised the point that I nearly missed. If you do not have an approved strategy plan, an annual performance plan by the minister, don't even hope of
coming here. You must just stop there. Never even come. You must don't even spend a cent. And those employees working in this entity must just know something tough might happen.
I don't wish to open the matter, Chair. It's just that maybe to mention that the approval is conditional, pending the addressing of some critical issues.
That's
what we're doing one-on-one with each of the visitors to begin to address those issues.
Okay. We hope that then when the visitors come, they will come with approved stress plans, onion first plans, and that articulate our mission. If that is not going to be the case, something drastic must happen this time around. I think this committee is going to take something drastic about sitters that don't listen to us. Something must, and it's going to happen. Okay, we let's go to the second presentation by the energy and water services sitter. Fastness break members are still setting up.
Up after being put in administration, the administrator can develop plans on how he's going to try and improve the EWC moving forward. He did about three phases, with a stabilization phase that focused on analyzing the key on the analysis of the key challenges and designing key interventions. The second phase was the recovery phase, where we focused on building, rebuilding, and redesigning the organization, institutionalizing corporate planning, and improving on the governance. Then, from April moving forward, then we had another phase which was called the performance phase. Under that phase, the board was appointed, and the constitution of the CETA eventually adopted, and the administrator handed the reins to the new board with the aim of focusing on the SLA targets, and as well as to improve on our stakeholder engagement. With the full representation of both sectors. You will note that in 2005, when the water sector was transferred to the CETA, there's always been a concern that we are forever focusing on energy and very little on the water sector, or water services sector. Okay. On developing our strategy, we looked at the National Skills Development Strategy in SDS3, and you will see as we go through the document, out of the strategy, we know that the whole in SDS3 covers a wide range of activities, some of it which is directly linked to the CETAs and others which is not linked to the CETAs, but we can do correlation or cooperation with others. So the NSDS3 and its objectives, like our primary driver of what we will try to achieve as a CETA. In developing the skills plans, we did engage the industry, their triangulations, and the documents that we will see, they are still then with the department, including the strat plan, as you've had before. And out of those sector skills plans, there are sections that deals with our the demand cycles and what do we have in terms of supplies of the skills and what we need to look at. We also considered areas around the national growth path and the priorities of government in developing those plans. When we look at our goals as an organization, we've got summarized it. If you look at strategy plan, you will see a long list of goals, but we summarized it to about those four. On the organizational growth, this is where we need to see the CETA focusing on the industry and the sector and improving on its own corporate governance and leadership so that it can grow and service the industry as effectively as possible. On the process improvement, it's our internal processes that we need to engage in so that the NSDS3 is we're expected or it wants to ensure that there's quality training. Quality training then means that for us as a CETA, we must also deliver a quality service to those that are our stakeholders. And you do see the issues around the CETAs being hampering the progress around skills development. So we need to make sure that we do not defeat our own purposes and the processes. Stakeholder management and the relations on the improvement, this is important for us because when you've looked in the past and even on the current situation, how we've dealt with our stakeholders and the types of relationship we've built with them, I know it is at the level where they are supposed to be. On the socioeconomic impact, we look at our own internal staff being able to capacitate them to deliver on what they need to do. We also look at generally your transformational imperatives as to how we need to deal with the issues that we are faced with as a CETA. Okay, just make sure. What you then have there will then be the financial information.
that we have as an organization. You might not be clear enough, but generally our levy base always runs about between 150 and 170. And we looking into the future, we're thinking it will still be around those ranges. We continue to have your employees and your services and goods and services being your main the main categories in your admin moving forward. Okay, I won't go through the numbers as they are. We'll go through that part. When we're looking at our indicators moving forward, as we said, we looked at the NSDA3 to cover most of the things that you'll find there. So I'll quickly run through this. It's still going to be a gap as we go through this about what we have done. So I'll include those as we present. On the first one about the facilitation of the grant, that basically is for those companies that would have qualified to receive grants. And through that, we will try to achieve close to 95%, because if people qualified, there's no reason why we shouldn't be at 100. But because the element of contingency, we've left the other 5%. And between last year and now, we've been able to pay grants, except for one quarter, on time, moving throughout the period. There is a 1C code which we have not been able to pay grants on because of the challenges that we had. I will deal with that later on moving forward. On establishing the credible institutional mechanism, in developing the SSP, we do have internally a research unit that deals with that part, but it's mainly done through the collaboration with service providers. But moving forward, we have taken note of the issue that the minister has mentioned about having the sector skills plan being done through the institutions of higher learning, and in so that we minimize the amount that we pay for consultants, and we do not have data moving forward on what has happened in the past. Okay, and then the next one was dealt with, that is your what in the past was the unemployed people. In there, we put how much we can do. This also talks about the ability of the business to be able to fund those activities. When we look into this, we consider what the industry is trying to do and what the sector needs to do. So, but also we have to work within the constraints that we have in terms of budget. So for the next financial year, we were saying that there must be at least 550 people who have entered programs. It is extremely conservative, but we're also looking at our past histories and how we have done with the programs. Okay. And then moving forward to those that would have completed. We've almost followed the same approach that used to happen with NSDS3 when we're preparing the NSDS2 when we're preparing those documents. On the number of learners or assisted to enter into the artisan programs, we know that in here, this is what has been mentioned a lot, that we need to put people into the programs and have assistance. This also talks to how we then deal with issues of people that we have trained in the past who might have fallen through the cracks that we might need to bring in if we find people halfway through, like NQF level 2 and 3, but then they then disappeared. We'll then look into those and moving forward. Let me jump further. The next one that we talk to you about the relevant research that is developed. We've already developed, we were saying two, because we wanted to do a detailed research about the weaknesses that would have come through the SSP. One of the things that was there was the research on the NGOs and the cooperatives. So we've already started with that part and doing that research so that we can get accurate data that we can use moving forward. On the one that talked about promoting growth of the public FETs,
In here, we have said we'll look into about five of these that we've already entered into agreements with FETs like Poland, FET Umfolozi, Majuba, with the aim of looking into their, analyzing their needs, and so that when we plan moving forward and when we do the activities, we then get into the programs that are linked to what we need to achieve. Those two then will then deal with in this FETs, as we try to enter into agreements with them, we also want to have, when their qualifications are being developed, look into whether the qualifications that they have at these FETs link them back to the industry, so that whatever that they do, when learners come out of the FET, they at least come out with the qualifications and the skill set that is required by the industry. And then in future, then start to link those learners into the industry as well. So that's why we then have your workplace opportunities created. I think it's about the 200 to 220 that we have planned for this year. Okay. When the other one, which is of interest, is your adults and low levels. There is an issue about low levels in youth and adults. Numeracy and skills. This used to be your normal event. This used to be your normal event in the past, but as it has been redefined, we need to then change the focus so that we just don't train people on event 1 up until 4, and then others don't even finish at 4. But we need to look into those. But this is one element where at this stage, we are in the planning phases of it. We haven't done much in terms of advancing on this. Okay. And then on the better use of your workplace-based skills development. Here, this is where we talk about people who are already employed. Those that are already employed, we can put them, we are encouraging the companies and the levy payers to have those into learnership or apprenticeships that they might have. But on the skills programs per se, we also encourage them to take short courses, skills program, but those skills programs that are linked to a qualification, or if they are doing a top-up. For unemployed learners, we discourage the use of skills programs as they end up with short courses that do not improve their skill set and then enable them to be able to find employment moving forward. And then on your cooperatives and NGOs, here we are putting the low numbers. At this stage, we are still conducting research into trying to get how they are dealing with this part, but we've already designed like agreements of understanding with SANACO as an example, so that we can be able to work with them and develop programs that not just addresses that are focused on what they would have given us moving forward. Okay, on the building your career and vocational guidance, in here we wanted to have these career. We've already developed the career guide, the guidance that talks to our to our sector. So now the issue is then to start to roll it out to do the road shows and roll it out throughout the provinces and the municipalities, but also link up with the Human Research Council as they are improving on how we're doing this career guide. Because if without them, then we also have a dead gap in how we do things moving forward. Okay. Our priorities as an organization, we are encouraging that there should be a learner progression from one level to another. The one level, it can be in two phases where you are moving from an NQF level 2 to an NQF level 3 until you become an artisan. It's also an issue of where people are in the institutions. If somebody has gone into an FET and they've got an ability to progress, we need to be able to link them into the University of Technologies or universities as in the manner that they used to be. But this is going to be a long-term initiative. But let's talk to the basis of the qualifications, the occupational-based qualifications that we do, having been in line with how they are done, so that we don't find that at the universities they say, but this person doesn't even understand the basics. Okay. And then on the issues about which we are going to do, we've already mentioned the GET band where you go to adult and your the youth, that's where then there would be, and as we have already said that at this stage we haven't catered for that, but we will be focusing on those. FEC band, here we do the apprenticeships, learnerships and internships, but we also want to do the monitor, the mentoring and allocation of bursaries. While we might be looking at the those that are employed is a little bit easier because they are already in the workplaces, those that are unemployed, as they move throughout, we should be able not just to stop at the level where people have done NQF level 4 and stop funding, but also move into preparing them for trade tests and having them doing trade tests properly. As the agency band, here we are mainly focusing around the allocation of bursaries. We've already allocated bursaries to students at the University of Venda, Limpopo, and TUT. Roughly about 50. And when we're allocating those, we look at your transformational imperatives, and the majority of those that were there are women, and we have categorized, we gave the criteria as to what is it that people should qualify for if they need to do their part. The research on our on the measures identified by the SSP, we already know that the water sector, the water services sector is lacking, information is lacking in our SSP. We need, one of the things that would be happening is to do those research that are focused through the water services sector. We've already made and started building a relationship with institutions such as WITA so that we can bring them closer to our environment. Okay. But the other research that I've already mentioned on the NGOs that and the cooperatives that that we have dealt with. And then when we then talk about the focused support on the institutions of higher learning, the CITAS is not about just funding a program, but it's about FET that there is an FET which is closer to Waste and Recycling Services. We need to be able to link that so that when people want to get trained, they can go there. And we can link them up to the institution. The FETs, yes, we have already signed FET contracts or MOUs with some of the FETs, like we have mentioned before. So I'm not sure whether I've addressed your question.
I don't want to interject, you know, in my office,
okay.
I don't interject, you know.
All right.
It's offensive to interject.
Thanks. The next one that we need to focus on in greater detail is on the small and the medium and micro enterprises and some of the worker-initiated programs and the cooperatives and the NGOs and community initiatives. Here, we want to bring it up as separately from the other activities, because in the past it's been easier to look at the programs and issued grants for training. But the types of training that is required for the cooperatives might be different to whatever that we have done with your medium and your large entities. There is also an element that, as we say, we want to have synergies with the spheres of government. We're looking at building better relationships right now with mainly with those departments that you see on your primary stakeholders, Department of Energy, Water Affairs, Human Settlement, and the Public Enterprises and Environmental Affairs. This because in some cases we do will find that as an organization, when we plan in isolation of what these departments are doing, but we need to collaborate with them, know how they, what they need to do moving forward, and be able to coordinate the skills development in those areas. One of them, which is coming through economic development, they have come up with an infrastructure or a plan. Out of those, there are about 17 initiatives or objectives. And when you look at the majority of them, they are in our sector. It's about building dams, renewable energy, improving on the green economy. So we need to be able to be proactive and do not get end up like we did with the World Cup, where we only realize after the skills, after the programs are gone, that we should have been an integral part of those programs. Okay. So we have already engaged as the Department of Public Enterprises to say, let us sit down and plan together, or we, so that we can be able to address all the needs that you would have. We'll take the Department of Energy. It's got a lot of programs on the renewable energy itself, but some of these programs are not linked to what we are doing as a center. So we need to build closer relationships. So that's the main thing that we are doing now. With the public entities, you will see some of those that have listed there. We have a closer relationship with ESCOM than any of these other entities that are there. But they are still within our sector. We are making efforts into engaging them. I can use ESCOM as an example, which we have brought into so that we can present to them what is our vision moving forward and eliminate all the challenges that we have had in the processes. We also want to bring this down to the provincial level and at the local government. Being able to link up with institutions that are responsible for skills planning. This is a, while we have the provincial CETA forum, we also want to have our own where we can go in as a CETA, understand exactly what are the needs in the provinces, and be able to work together with those. So this is a plan moving forward more than what is currently happening. Okay. I'm going to go back a little bit to the stakeholder management. Okay. We do, as a CETA, need to remain relevant to our sector. Because if we continue the way that we have continued, that we have been doing, it is easier for the sector to render us irrelevant and find ways of moving or changing a SIP code to another C code so that they are not with us if we do not provide quality service. Part of the other thing that we needed to deal with is that element of exclusion or non-inclusion, as others might call it, more especially to the water services sector. So like here, we have already started internally saying all your water boards, we need to have engagements with them as one of our major stakeholders. But that doesn't mean that we exclude other levy payers in our environment. The other part is about dissemination of information. We are, at this stage, have been, rightly so, in some cases, being noted as not being providing information on time and with information that is of quality and substance that can be used for other things. And also trying to ensure that there is legal compliance in our environment between how we deal with our stakeholders. And then change the image of the organization. In changing that image, it means that we should always portray an element of professionalism in how we deal with our stakeholders. And these stakeholders that you talk about, really, our primary stakeholder are the learners who are in our who are in the programs. Because whatever that we do, we are trying to improve on the well-being of the people who we put into our programs. Then the training providers and the employers, they will come in second to the learners that are in there. We also looked at, we've already assessed how relevant is EWCETA to our center. We looked at the SIC codes. We have about 15 SIC codes, and 10 of those, there are elements where we are doing work, but 4 of those we are still lacking. So one of them, which could be of mention, is GAPS. We haven't done much program around those areas that are related to GAPS, but you might find also that those are part of the cross-sectoral projects that we have to do, because as a CETA, we might need to work out with the chemicals CETA or CHETA in working with those SIC codes. And in part of doing this is also talking to us and say, well, let us, through the collaboration with the industry, really look at the skill set that is required by some of these. You can call it SIC codes, you can call it sectors within the element within of our environment. We should also be able to note that as a CETA, we are focused on our mandate, but the levy payers have got a broader activity that they are dealing with. People who need financial skills, we need as a CETA be able to collaborate with other CETAs into bringing those financial skills and saying how they need to be trained, so that we do not just only service them for what we are focused on as an energy and water CETA. The other part then talks about our qualifications. As we look at our skill set, we need to be able to see which one of these qualifications councils are we supposed to be working on. QCTO, we have a relationship with them. CHET, not that much of a relationship. Umaluzi is there, as they have been doing the apprenticeships and all the other things that were related to that part. And then as we look into, we also need to look into our SIC codes, and then now we are then talking about the future of identifying and developing those occupational based qualifications that are required. As an example, the qualifications related to the renewable energy. I think there is one qualification that talks to that, but we need to be able to say which part of this renewable energy is relevant to us. And as an example, the issue about generation of power, that should be with us, and we should lead on that front. So those are the issues that we then need to look into when we develop our qualifications in line with how QCTO is developing qualification now. On our levy base, really we have about 91% of those levies are coming from energy sector, Eskom being the major stakeholder there. The water sector in the 2011 only contributed 9%. I'm going to explain why it dropped from the usual 15 to 20% levies. And we have worked mainly with our large levy payers and the medium levy payers, but the small levy payers, those are the people that sort of get neglected in the processes. That's why we're saying earlier on we need to have programs that are focused and directed to them. On the performance reporting, we talked about how the organizations are working, how our organization is working. Our focus is on both those things that we fund as a CETA, those discretionary grants, and those that are not funded. Non-funded could mean that they are exclusively funded by the employers, or they are funded through the mandatory grants. In the reporting, we've already identified that most of the time we report about what we fund, but as a CETA, we service everyone who's supposed to be in our CETA. And therefore, all the learners who are supposed to have been registered with an apprenticeship program should be on our system. Right now, not all of them. It's mainly about those that we have funded. But we have started to work on the programs of ensuring that every learner who is either in a learnership or in an apprenticeship program is registered with the CETA, so that we can also ensure compliance with laws and regulations. The other element which is of importance about quality assurance. The quality assurance needs to move to operate as seamlessly as possible throughout our value chain, from the start of the program when we enter learners until they exit. The exit being the certification. In our organization, there is a quite a number of backlog of certification, which also impacts on how our stakeholders looks at us. So we are working on how to clear out with the backlog. We are working closely with the Department of Higher Education about how we're going to clear the backlog. The challenges that we have had, we put them here as last, because some of them we've been able to change. The instability in our governance structures and leadership roles, we know that at that high level, through the changes being put in the administration and a new board, we just spent the first year in these operations, and the changing roles at the high level, being your CEO, and we eventually got the CFO appointed on a permanent basis. Those are the types of things that could cause instability within the whole organization. The weakness is in the internal control environment, as we say it, it is also evident from the type of audit reports that we've had in the past. 2007 until 2010, we had a disclaimer of opinion. Those are the indicators that with type of a report, you might also find difficulty in actually reporting on the performance, which has eventually led to the backlog that we find. On the capacity, there are challenges in terms of the financial capacity being with the resources that you have, being inability in some cases to not even be within your 10% budget, because the 10% budget, admin, will be about 15 million. But we are running, or we are managing a sector that is dealing with critical things, you know, energy, water, and waste, which is what you would normally see out there, people commenting and lamenting about. The SIGCOD transfers have also caused their own challenges. When you talk about SIGCOD transfer, the first one being the transfer from LCC to our environment, that SIGCOD transfer, even now, we do have levies which for the whole of the 2011-2012 were not with us, even though those companies had moved to us, but somewhere there was a technical error or mistake where someone changed all those SIGCODs and put them back into LGC. But we have engaged with the Department of Education, with SARS, with LGC. We now know that there is some couple of millions which are going to be coming to us and with this levy page for March. So those are types of relationships that we're trying to build where we are able to resolve the issues internally. But this has caused a lot of hardship and frustrations from those companies which qualify to get monetary grants, but we have not been able to pay them for the whole year. And this is another nightmare that we must deal with. On the transfer of the SIGCOD from the energy sector to construction sector, that has also had its own challenges, because at some point it has the communication between us and our levy payers was not adequate. Then they caused confusion as to who's going to be dealing with what. We have worked with the construction sector, and we are continuously working with them in defining how this process needs to work, so that it becomes clear who's going to be responsible for what. Okay. In conclusion,
engineers to lay pipe, water pipes, to
ones and all that. Leakages in South Africa. We need to hear how many plumbers have you used their phone in Makadu, have they trained you, the local government. You tell us how many project managers, if in your field you need some. You know, all those skills that you talked about, you referred to, you haven't really mentioned any. What are the skill sets? What are the scarce ones? And what is your intervention? That's what I want to hear. You spoke so. You see, the structure of the template is very beautiful. And if you follow that template and with that sort of data, you are likely to impress the committee. But we don't seem to have what we want. I'm talking from where I'm sitting. Because when you come to a committee, you must never ever make the mistake of coming to a committee and say, we must have relations with the clerical sector. We must have. You must say, we have a collaborative initiative with the clerical sector to do 1, 2, 3. Because that theorization tells us that there's no such relationship. And in the past, we had said you must have a sector forum to really have these collaborations. We don't even know whether that exists. If it exists, what purpose it does, if it's not where you negotiate salaries. Now, let's hear that. You can just recap in a minute and say, no, Chair, in terms of batteries, we only give 50 for how much? For Limpopo University, is this? For Venda, is this? And so on. That helps us. For the FETs, we're doing this. Placements, we're going to place 200, but I think that much you mentioned. So I'll allow members to deal with that. The only last comment from me is that I think the department is here. Where there is an adverse report by the AG, obviously the CEO and the CFO must be dismissed. Because it means they've not followed the law. Basically, I don't think you would follow the PFMA and you have an adverse report. That must be very clear. We are just saying that in advance, so that next time we meet, and there is a disclaimer or an address report, the department and the accounting authority, if there is a board, the chairperson must be here. The chairperson of the authority, accounting authority, issuance must be here. Because those are the people. You see, the CEO and the rest of the team account to what you call an accounting authority. Their projects are approved by an accounting authority. You know, they go there with their vision, with their strategic plan, with all this, and present. And the accounting authority says, yes, we approve of the following project involving this much, blah, blah, run with it. Then, after that approval, you go and do your tendering process and give your friends hoping that we won't catch you. Then we catch you in the process, we dismiss you. You see? That's how it works. Now, let's have members asking questions based on this, and we proceed. Can I take Bosman?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you also for the presentation. I think this is quite more informative on a variety of issues. I just want one or two questions for clarity. The administration, it's not quite clear from this report whether the administration period has been terminated and if the administration or the board has taken over and is now placed under its own jurisdiction, so to say. If they can just maybe clear it up, and if it is not done, what is the time frames that they are involved in? Secondly, on the financial information, this time I find the financial information very, very little. I see that there's no audit done. I presume we need to get the reason why the audits and when the audits are going to be finalized. But we also need to get a better picture of the financial situation. There's no income status. It's only a few items under administration of the expenses. And also, it doesn't really indicate, I presume it is in millions. If you could just put somewhere that it is a million figure that you're quoting. I would like to see if it balances with the income. We cannot draw our conclusions on the financial situation. Chair, then I'm worried about some of the issues now suggested in the budget vote as well. I suppose that people were present. It is touched on in this document on a couple of instances. I can refer you to a couple of pages, but I don't really think it's necessary. What I'm getting at, some of the sectors were continuously moved from one sector to the other to the other. And I'm not quite clear why this has happened, specifically on the energy electrical type of sector, which has been moved quite a number of times. It was first on its own electrical sector, CETA, then it was moved to the EW CETA, then it was moved to the construction CETA. Now, in that whole process, apparently, it is also not clear if all of it has been moved, some of them stayed behind, where does it end? And I think I received a letter from one of the training providers that is really quite amazing, because it states it here that complications have arisen from this move, as the construction CETA does not have the expertise for the electrical trade, and NQF4 is undecided where it's going to be quality assured. Was it not possible for these CETAs to identify which things should be structured under one CETA? And the other, the following from this, I received numerous complaints about people that have gone through the whole training process, the whole apprenticeship process. In the end, they have not received the certificate. Certificate is now supposed to be issued by the CETA, the construction CETA, but it was run during the previous period. And I really think what we should maybe get is more clarity on what to do with the queries, and maybe get a contact person that can solve this problem. Because the reason why I'm really raising it is that these students, I mean, they've gone through the training, they said they've been qualified, now they must apply for a job, but they haven't got a certificate to supply. So they cannot get employed. Some of them for years. I think some of them have told me that they've been qualified for a number of years already. Now, the other thing is that one of the other service providers also complained that he was now moved to CETA, but he has not really been re-accredited, re-registered. So we sit with all sorts of problems. That all the information has been probably with the EW CETA. Now it's gone to the new CETA. Now they things get stuck. I think this is unacceptable. We must really get a mechanism to sort it out between the CETAs. Otherwise, they must come together again and maybe form one CETA for this specific sector, which we encountered quite a lot of problems from. Thank you.
Well, Chair, I think you just made one of the other questions that I know I had, which was a primary question for me. To say, as a energy and water sector, we've got challenges
numerous challenges that are facing within the municipalities. And I think in one of your slides, you just mentioned that I think the municipality is one of your stakeholders, if I'm not mistaken. Because I'll have a view to say there are numerous challenges that are, you know, rising now and then. What role do you play as a citizen in order to assist and address this crisis of water? But the other thing that I wanted probably to understand, what determines the criteria that you set up, that there is a primary stakeholder and a secondary stakeholder? Why do I ask this? I'm asking this because you just mentioned to say, you know, in terms of the departmental responsibility, one of your primary stakeholders is Department of Energy and Department of Enterprise, and of which I believe that ESCOM belong within those two departments, and you put an ESCOM as a secondary stakeholder. You know, I need to understand that. I'm so glad that you know CEF is one of your primary stakeholders, but you must be able to see you know intervening in terms of the challenges that they also have, because they've got number of challenges that they also have. They even fail to deliver in terms of the solar water heater, because in terms of the skill development that they've mentioned to say they're having as a challenge. So it's one of the other issues that, you know, we must be able to clarify to me. But the other thing, in terms of the provincial structures, there's what you call energy forums. Do you participate there? Do you take any role there? Because some of the other issues that you must be able to check whether, in order for you to address these challenges, these forums tend to raise these challenges where they are, so that you can be able to intervene there and there. Probably my last one, but this question, Chair, relates to in terms of your categories of risk identified, risk management system of yours. I need you to clarify for me, is one of the risk identified to say risk number 11, that you see that you've got a problem in terms of the insufficient funding. What is the meaning of that? And if it's a risk, how do you intend to, you know, try and solve it? Because I've been seeing you probably in the list where you mentioned to say in terms of your risk assessment. Because the other thing that I wanted to ask you is that have you signed the service level agreement for this year? Because the document that I'm having here, it's a previous year one. If you have signed for 2012-2013 and you still have the very similar categories that are here, you need to have to assist me in terms of your Public Financial Management Act. What place do we have in terms of the risk management here? In terms of, you know, putting a yellow flag to say, we are always alert that they can be some of the challenges that may cause you to fall again into the adverse report or disclaimer report from the Auditor General report. I'm just checking to say, in terms of your risk management, whether you are alert in terms of that, what strategies and what systems do you have? Thank you, Chairperson.
Risking being irrelevant to the sector and so on, and levy payers
perhaps not appreciative of some of the offerings or what the programs CETA is actually giving. And if I'm correct in that sense, I'm failing to understand, because I thought those employers, those workers in that sector or in that industry come together to form that CETA and actually define what should happen. Now, if there's CETA somewhere and there are those employers component and perhaps workers elsewhere, and to the extent that the CETA may be relevant, to me it does give a sense that I'm not operating as one, and I want to understand what is happening. Because I thought CETA should be doing what the industry itself requires as well. So perhaps I'm not getting it right, and I'll need elaboration on it. The second issue is that, again, here, the strategic plan, I think, has not been signed off by the executive authority. The same applies, like we did talk to the issue with regard to the premium CETA. And I wouldn't want to get back to that. The third point is that the CEO did refer to the 9% levies coming from the water component and the 91 coming from the other subsector. And he did say that you would talk to that point why they moved from 15 to about 20%, dropping to 9%, and that was not talked to, unless if I missed it, but I didn't hear that coming. The last point from which will relate to the cooperatives, the assistance, I think on page 22 or 27 of this threat plan, it talks to that issue about 10 cooperatives that were are being supported, and NGOs or workers initiated, page 22 of 27. It talks to that cooperative issue. And my issue is, unless if the concept perhaps is not the same, is that we have very few, if any, cooperatives that have been successful. Mainly owing to the skills, lack of skills and all of that. And in this particular area, unfortunately as well, we are not told exactly where are they and what sort of work being done, so that we know that yes, we do have cooperatives that have formed into some entity and is successful, and we are giving them particular skills that are best practice in the country in this particular sector. Or field. I don't have that, but I think we could be told that yes, we do have them, and this is how they were actually supported, and so many were trained, and we hope they will sustain on that particular basis. Because some of the things, when we drill deeper, we then realize that the concept that is talked about, but there's very little on the ground that can be pointed or exposed for each one of us to know where they are. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My first question has been taken with regard to worker-initiated projects and co-ops. Then my first question then would be, what is the take of the CETA with regard to recognition of prior learning? I think the question is relevant because there are an education and training authority. My other issue is with regard to, I've seen something that says including rural areas, with regard to provincial and local government presence. Or what is making me uneasy is that here you talk of developing structured skills development initiatives, including deep rural areas. That is where I come from. But it looks like deep rural areas are not a priority. They will be included. And my view is that if there is nothing aggressive that South Africa does in rural areas, our agenda to transform the country is not going to succeed. So I don't want rural areas to be included. They must be a priority on their own. Lastly, we hear that South Africa is a dry country all of a sudden. And then our people have been promised, particularly in rural areas, that they will be given access to clean running water. Those areas would be electrified so that those people will have access to electricity like in other South Africa. Energy production or energy generation is also having its own problems. Besides the fact that South Africa now is dubbed a dry country, what is the CETA thinking about alleviating such situations? Or what is South Africa thinking about alleviating such situations? So those are things that I thought I should play. That's it.
Thank you. Good. Yeah. First, a very comment to both SETA. This is my first exposure to SETA. When you say SETA, to me, does not mean anything. So this is my very first exposure. And Mondays are our constituency days as MPs. This coming Monday, I'll be in my constituency immediately in the place. How I wish there could be something that I could be taking to those people that I'm going to be meeting them. To say the government has some structures called SETA. And the service sector and the energy sector have these programs for you here at Quest. That's a general comment. Again, for both the presentations, how I wish we could change our submit. For both sectors, we only got our distribution a day or sometimes that year. And that does not prepare us to be able to go through the documentation. And I'm feeling so strong about this one that there should be a time when we say, if you do not submit your presentation 5 days before, don't even come in. Because as members, we cannot just depend on your presentation without preparing. Let me cross over now to the energy. How I wish your document had pages, so that when I make my question, I say page 2, page 3, page 4. I will start with the financial. The second page of financial, because I only have pages. When we are talking about increased access to occupation directed programs, and then we said number of learners assisted to enter and complete assessment. I do not know the basis of the 50% completion rate. In all those years, the 50% completion is 50%, 50%. are these programs so difficult that our very target is that the complexity will only be 50%? When you go to the following page that deals with agreement and that with FET, of the 50 FETs, your only agreement are 3, 3, 3, 3 per year. In your 6 years, we have covered only 18. Is it that difficult to have this agreement with our 50 FETs? You go to the next page. Again, unfortunately, there is no number. It is the same question about your complexion. You are saying they encourage better use of web-based skills. And then you say what you expected, the number of learners entered, number of learners completed. Again, I don't know if it's a thumbs up figure. All those years, your completion rate is 50%. I go to the next page again, your financial. I became excited when your completion in 2014-15 was 100%. Suddenly, the following year, it went down again, 10 out of 15. And the following year again, it went up to 100%. Is there anything that informs this figure? Is there anything that... If we go to the bursary, some of us, that's one area that does mean something to us, when they say bursary. How are we, they say, hey, ACT band, through bursary, the transition of work-based experience. I went back to a performance indicator, where I expected to see that figure there, that you're expecting to have so many bursaries for this year, so many bursaries for this year. I didn't find it there. Maybe let me stop there for now.
Measures to have to make sure that the programs that we are coming up with in
often you find that these targets are given out of the blue, sort of. There's no context for you to understand what we're dealing with, the backlog. For instance, if you want to train people, let's say the unemployed, the research that we should have been able to do should be able to say within this sector, we are addressing the challenge of 400,000 people. So that when you say our target for this year is 3,000, we know that it's 3,000 that should reduce the number of 400,000. But if it's 3,000, you don't know of what. You know, I'm trying to put this clear, simple as well, that I'm just throwing figures. If you say we have got a problem of skills in our sector and we want to deal with that, we're addressing it, then you say we have got a target for this financial year of 500 people. Or want to train. It's 500 of what? Often we don't have that. It's not just on you, general chair, the point I'm trying to be raising. And we may be sympathetic to you now that you have just come, but I'm saying, going back, you must try and find out what are you dealing with? What are you addressing yourself in your sector? What sort of challenges? Then you must understand the huge challenge that we have. So that if it's an issue of looking for more money, looking for this, that you don't have, or your capacity says you can only train 3 at a go, and in that case, it means addressing 400,000 or a million, it will need so much time. We must be able to understand that. So that we don't talk to issues out of some context that we were supposed to have and we don't have. I just hope, Chair, if I have not put it well, you can further elaborate that so that it's well taken. And perhaps with time, we may get those figures.
I think it's clear. I mean, there are statistics that show the level at which young people in our country are unemployed, and they constitute the majority, the biggest proportion of the population. I'm talking about youth between the age of 16 and 24, and so on. There are those statistics that are there. What impact would you like to? Placements, for instance, how many municipalities do we have in South Africa? If municipalities could just take 5, students, 5, they'll exceed by far the numbers that you've projected. Petro SA, how many are they prepared to take? Yeah, people in that ESCOM, in all their operations, they can take many. ESCOM cannot fail to take 200 learners, for instance, to learn there and so on. I mean, here we are playing. I mean, if you can employ me for a week, just to go and speak to Petro SA for you about placement, put them on the spot. Or if you want us to call them here, you might find out even their titles are far ahead of you. You see. So in the next meeting, because this one would not meet our grade, we're going to call ESCOM, Petro SA. All these keys, particularly state entities, they'll be here about placement. There'll be commitment right in here because I think we need to put our cats in one crop if they can't meet on their own in the field. Now, we'll call them here and say, now on targets, what is the target in your record? Then you are a public entity. What do you say about it? Because we are going to fund this. But that's what we need to go. I'm sorry that I did not recognize the chairperson of the bodies, because normally the presentation is actually introduced by the chairperson, and then hand it over to the CEO and so on. Because the person who we listen to, even in tough times, is the chairperson. The person who accounts before us is the chairperson, and the rest are the team of the chairperson. So the voice of the chairperson in your activities as a sitter is very, very big. Even the chairperson just says, passing there and say, I'm a million whatever company passes through the CEO and they say, I'm unhappy with the performance of my company. And the CEO can't say, no, I'm the CEO here, you know, in terms of the company act, you are really making a mistake. Because your job is on the line. I mean, what is happening in football if the performance is not satisfying? The referee knows what is going to happen. It must also happen in the sitters. If you are failing to give us credible target as parliament, what do you hope you are doing? Because I can tell you, if I can send each member here to go and speak to the municipality for place, we'll say, well, the money will come. How many will take? They'll actually, they'll give you more because young people are unemployed where they are. The municipality will say, well, you know, a municipality, we want people who can go and work on bust pipes, to go and replace this and that here and there. We need 50 of them. We'll fund them. And you say we don't have enough money. Then we'll go to the NSF ourselves. And say, NSF, there is a shortage. NSF will give money. Let's stop playing about targets. Because we're serious about what we're talking about, particularly on targets. And we hope that when we come back, we would have gone to the 50 colleges, we would have gone to the 6 universities of technology to identify students who have got particular programs like a diploma, a degree, whatever they call it, who need placement. And let's identify spaces with names in our heads. Let's not just sit in a laboratory-like place and start manufacturing targets that, no, in our sector, let's take 500, that's fine, no, fine, we can achieve that in a day. We must be having names of people from colleges, from universities, from communities. If we don't have people, we'll call members here to speak to the constituency. All youth who are unemployed with this program, come forward. We can do that for you. Because you realize that you are not working. And we have not begun to ask how many CEOs we have. We have got about 21 CEOs. How much do they earn per month? Which you could use to say, because we don't understand what is going on, let's remove this position and use this money and have some NGOs money, you know, coming to us. Can you place people? Let me tell you, there are some NGOs that can place many people than even a sitter, the way it looks like. Let's go, let's unblock our minds a bit, man, and work in a different way. We know that in the Department of Labor, it was different. Here it must be. It's a different environment. You are dealing with people with a new agenda here. We need you to work differently. And apparently, this message is not coming home. And the portfolio committee is not a harsh one. And I'm repeating myself. We always want to speak where there are no cameras. So that you can only be heard alone, not with the nation having seen that. Alone. You know, you go home and say, I'm earning well, but those people gave me my job properly, you know. Where was that? It is not true that South Africa does not know its own skills. Are we so stupid as a country that we don't know how many doctors we need? We don't know how many engineers we need. We don't know how many project managers we need. We don't know how many plumbers we need. We don't know how many bricklayers we need. As South Africa, we are so dull that we need some specialists from a very complex university, maybe of Oxford or Harvard, I don't know which other complex institution, to come from Africa with a big computer, able for that matter, that tells you South Africa. How many people are in South Africa? Because we don't seem to know. How many people are in which province? How many people are in which municipality? We don't have those statistics. We must get a specialist together for us. Comrades, let's think differently. Comrades, friends. Comrades, the new friends. Not the ANC comrades. Friends. Colleagues, because we are all really call all principals or whomever is responsible, say, we actually need these skills. Any FET that has got a program in this area, come forward. How many people are you prepared to train? They say, no, we can only afford three in terms of our targets. We'll fund them if they qualify in terms of this criteria that we've set. You can even agree on all those things. And then you enter into an agreement with all of them at once. One memo, the same target, you have achieved, you have 50 agreements. And these people, when you call them, they come in a day. You see, when you call all principals, they don't give us problems. HISA is prepared to give you students if you have got the batteries to give. You can't say there are no people. People are there. So let's go and look at that and ensure that we go to the department with our stretch plan, with our IOP first plan, and it must be approved on the basis of the fact that it articulates and then there's three, EPAP 2, the new growth path, and the human resource development strategy, South Africa. And we're going to do that by checking. What, first, tell us, how many companies are in the sector? Then we'll start seeing whether the targets are proper. Because I don't think a company can fail. If all these companies are failing to place two students, why do you give them a grant if they even fail to place just a student? How can they qualify maybe to train people when they are failing to take a student to learn something from their company? It doesn't happen like that. Lastly, for the department, this issue of 10% of course must be addressed in law. It really must go away. It is not well thought out. It must go away. This 10% framework. We must think about it. This thing of mandatory grants to companies is not well thought out. This money must be put in a pool and be given to people who want it. That's where we must go. So the companies will say, yes, I gave you a lot of money, I've got people to be trained. Then they're going to give the right people now, the right people they need. Because they know they will put money in there. But at the moment, they are taking the money, paying the existing people in the system, or a company of a friend. Come and give my workers a course on how to laugh when the CEO comes through. Then it's 20,000 rand per employee. Then the money goes back. We know that. So let's change the way things are done. And we're prepared as a Buffalo committee to go toe to toe with everybody on this. South Africans want jobs. Everybody wants training. The citizens are not doing anything. Today, I think I agree with that view. Initially, I was saying no. I think we must contextualize. Now, there's no longer context. It is a matter of saying we need to do things differently. I'm going to allow the chair to speak, of the board to speak, because it was really unfair that this presentation could not be introduced by the chair. Normally, that's what must be done, because even accounting it will be done by the chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Panel members of this portfolio committee. I think the report may present a piece that not much is being done, but I believe it's more that maybe we're not clear to what you need. I agree with you. Without knowing on what basis is a pass rate of 50% is based on, it can be questionable. I agree that we need to talk to the challenges that our country is facing to make sure that. And one element we have been pushing at the board is that we want to train people just to train, instead of training them. We must train them, linking to make sure that the companies from which people are trained undertake to take them back as employees after training. Because the danger there is that the people, or instead of short courses, doesn't help people because they have many short courses when they can apply them in terms of development. But I believe that my coming here was also a learning curve because I know that as the board meets, we'll make sure that the reporting is done thoroughly. But lastly, I think that if the question was raised about whether the board is functional at the phase between now, I think the board is functional. It's just that we're still waiting for the appointment of the CEO. which I think in a number of ways will harm SANGA going forward. Currently, we have been, I think the question was even raised by a number of other stakeholders that the signing of certificate by different individuals because of ever having personal capacity or acting capacity does not give the board or the legislator good standing. But I can promise you that in the next report, the issues we have raised will be covered because they have been dealt with. We have dealt with the issue of taking up even this issue you are raising, Chairperson, about whether or not aware of which institutions need students to be given bursaries. We have dealt with that. But I think it was more of maybe the team not being clear or aware of what are the issues are going to raise. Not that there is no information. I think the CEO can respond to questions raised. But the comfort is that this board wants to make sure that we don't fail the mandate given to us, or we fail those young students who have got a dream of going to school on acquiring skills. But I think there is something to be done as well, because I think there is an agenda of big business not willing to take on young graduated students. I was thinking one last week, we have done studies trained by public works in road engineering. Saying to me, my uncle, I'm now sitting in the office as a clerk, and the people are supposed to mentor me. Their qualifications are too low to do that. I think that this debate must not end only in training. It must be how do companies take those who are trained so that they are given skills, they are given the expertise to train. We know people who are trained in the mining industry. After qualification, they don't go get any place where they can place so that they can acquire the necessary phase of training. That at the end must not only end. I agree, teachers have to perform. And I think that I can... There was to the board that when we go back, we'll make sure that all the questions raised will be dealt with, and when the report or the reporting comes again, there will be proper questions given. Sorry for not having presented this forum, saying that it is the first one to come. And I know I agree with you that it is the authority that should be running the program going forward.
On the issues about the qualifications relating to bursaries that we have allocated, we allocated bursaries on the waste and water treatment, electrical engineering.
Let me save you. Once you go that route,
yeah.
You are writing the report right in front of us. The best thing would have been to say, maybe on a matter that I think that this clarity, you might say, look, on matters of certification, this is what we want to do. The others that relate to the report, take them home, study them at night, and never sleep, particularly as the NPCU, because you might even get a job, and produce a good report, you know, and work and show that you are an expert. Produce something very powerful, and when the board sits, they just say, no. And maybe they even fact to us, and I meet it at home and say, this is very impressive. Then you will have gone somewhere. Because the committee, in all fairness, we're going to take a very strong position on once the egos. We're going to take a very strong position and make recommendations. Because we need performance. We're going to make statements. The day we're going to call you again, would have called media as well here. Because that they will be making a recommendation. The minister will be also advised to come. So that we say we are unhappy because of this and that and that. Let me say to the department, you have heard what we said, we needed the strat plans to be approved. The annual performance plans must be clearly articulated in terms of targets, focusing on the areas of the NSDS 3 and the other imperatives. And they must be sent to Parliament 5 days before the actual day of consideration. Otherwise, we can consider that. And that the CEO must be led by the chairperson of the accounting authority.
and that we do not want to hear a lot of English. Some of us don't know it well. We need content. Content about project amount. Project amount. Students, place. In Parliament, we know our language. We need placement of people in the industry. Tell us the numbers and which institutions. Tell us the numbers about placement of students from the universities. The number, and that will get on our own. If you challenge us to go into the industry, we are going to call you with your industries now. When we call you, because we have got the power to call anybody to Parliament. Maybe that is the power which people have forgotten. We can call any CEO here and ask questions about what they are doing in their own company. We are going to start invoking that power which is in the Constitution to say we are calling you with some key sector players to hear their perspective on all the issues we are raising, so that we can be rest assured that there's that collaboration that you must be there in the system. Let me allow you to continue responding. I hope that guides you as to which questions need to be addressed.
Okay. Thank you, John. I will talk about the issues relating to the why are we referring to insufficient funding. Okay. You will notice you won't see this in this report, but when you look at our financials and the 10% administration budget that we've talked about, we have consistently been over that 10%. That's why we talk about that element of insufficient amount to manage the CETAs as efficiently as possible. Yeah. There was an issue about why there was a drop in the water sector. That the cause of a drop was mainly because the SIC code, which was supposed to be with us, was transferred to the LG CETA. And they are bringing back that money, but it's going to come in March levies, which is going to affect the next period. Okay. On the issue of SIC code transfer between us and CETA, construction CETA, the two CETAs have developed a joint project to deal with those matters. So when we write reports, we need to write reports to the department and also inform the stakeholders, including joint communication, so that it is clear how we intend and how we are dealing with that process. And then on the issue of the backlog, we have the department. Department of Higher Education has requested in the report that talks to say what was the cause of our backlog, how much it is, how can we resolve it moving forward. And through all of that, there's also going to be lessons learned so that we do not get into the space. Okay. The other comments and questions raised, we've noted as you suggested, and we are going to deal with them, even including some information that we do in rural areas. There is work that has been done there, but we need to give more details, including the co-ops. We did mention that we signed the document with Sanaco as a co-op, so that when we deal with them, we can not just embrace just two or three, but we embrace all of them, and which are members of that process. I think may I then stop at that, and then the other issues, as you said, on our report must reflect what we've talked about.
I'll say what I usually say, Chair. That as members of parliament, we have constituent offices. We would love to be up here. used by you. Assume that if there are important messages that you want us to take to our constituencies, send those. I normally think about something like a brochure. There's energy and water, service center. These are the issues that I would like to be taken to the people out there. Use us, give us that one pager, so that when I go to that constituency meeting on Monday, I can represent you.
Thank you.